We're talking about spirituality. And I actually thought maybe I should change the title and call it something else. And then the more I dug into it, I was just like, nah, you know what? We're going to keep it as complicated as that word makes it out to be. So it's funny because the idea of spirituality can be such a deep thing with so many offshoots and different branches and all these things that you can do and go with it. And but this is a one-on-one series, so we're going to keep it really basic. That being said, if you wish to have any conversations afterwards, these are always the funnest of conversations to have. So we will do that. But we're talking about spirituality today. And I want to start off, we're going to go to Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, but before I go, I do actually want to pray for the sermon. Okay, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to just be here with your word. Thank you that we have it. It's accessible to us, Lord, and we can connect with you through it. I pray, God, that that we receive from you today, Lord, that I'm not just here speaking words, that you'll put your weight on them. Because the Bible says that when we open your word, Lord, you speak. Lord, we pray for your voice to speak to those that are here. And if anything that I'm going to say is not of you, just take it away. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of the Bible, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay, so whenever you introduce this this idea of spirituality, there's sort of a spectrum, right? We're going to call it naturalism versus supernaturalism. Yeah, naturalism versus supernaturalism is these two opposing ideas of, is there something out there or is there not something out there? And the very beginning of the Bible starts out saying, in the beginning, God created. So it introduces this idea that there is, yes, more than there meets the eye. There is more than the reality that we can just see, touch, and feel, right? And so it introduces supernaturalism. And so to be a Christian, we're talking about Christianity 101, you have to sort of abandon this idea of this naturalistic view of just what is all that is. And so to be a Christian, you have to accept the reality that God exists, and it introduces this. And never mind the fact that this where it can get really confusing is that God is uncreated. Always was. There is no beginning to him. He just always existed. And if that doesn't, you know, make you feel like this is crazy, well, I don't know what to do. It is. It's really nuts. And so uncreated, he just always was. And he always thought, like, if you follow that train of thought, you're like, was he ever lonely? Like, did he ever just, you know, naturally for me, where my brain goes is that, did he need to make us, right? Like, why are we even here? And but you have to also realize that God was fully self-sustained in himself, and that he didn't create us out of need, but out of want. And so, but what can happen is that we can lean too far towards just natural view, and then we can lean too far towards the supernatural view as well, right? And I have a bit of an illustration that I wanted to try out. It may not work, but I do need one brave volunteer. So, you know, think about if you want that person to be you. As I bring out this trash bin, I think people have probably been looking for this morning. Yeah? Oh, Mike, thank you, Mike. All right, Mike, we're just going to test your skills here. If you go stand over there. Okay, just cover one eye. Just pick an eye, cover it, and then try to make the shot. We can cheer him on. Whoa. And now I want you guys to know that wasn't supposed to happen. Cover the other eye. It's fun anyway. Okay. Now, don't Yeah, no. It's okay. You want to try again? You don't have to do it. No. Both eyes. Keep both eyes open. Yeah, get it in. Okay, thanks, Mike. Everybody give him a round of applause. So I will admit that was a risky one. But it's fun regardless. But what happens to you when you cover one eye is that anybody who's ever hurt an eye, you have to have an eye patch on, you do any of that, you start having depth perception issues, right? And then supposed to be that when you see with both eyes, then you can see accurately. But fun fact about Mike, he can see very well with only one eye. But it's the truth of our faith system when we venture into following Jesus, right? That if you lean too far towards this natural view, that you may miss the shot. You'll have a depth perception in your relationship. And if you lean too far the other way, you also will, right? Someone who might be too natural will say, like, for example, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from above. But also, what's true is that sometimes there's just an ebb and flow of life, of good days and bad days, and good days and bad days. And what can happen is if we're too leaning towards this naturalistic view, is that we will find ourselves never really in our heart giving credit to God. There could be something nice and good that happens to you, right? Like every good and perfect gift is from above. I'm selling my house, or I'm trying to. I may not. I'm flip-flopping all over the place with this thing. But if an offer comes in that's really good, I can say, well, that's just the way the market goes. That's really nice. That's really good. Or I can say, God, thank you for your provision for my family. And I can choose with my heart to give credit over to him. And so if you have a too naturalistic view, you're walking with one eye covered, right? It creates a depth perception. Now, on the other hand, if you're too, what should we call it, supernaturalistic, right? You can find that there's almost like a demon under every rock, you know? Or it's kind of like the idea that, oh, God will just take care of it. God will just take care of it. He'll just take care of it, right? And you guys remember that story of the person drowning, and they're like looking to be saved by God, and he sends a boat, and the person says, no, God, it's okay. It's okay, boat. God will send something. And then a helicopter comes by. And he's like, no, it's okay, God. God will save me, right? And they forget to put the work in that is required to do this. And so with this idea of spirituality, we need to not have an eye covered. We can't neglect the reality that according to the Bible, there is a spiritual realm. And we can't neglect the reality that it interacts with humanity. That's part of the whole story of the Bible. But we can't hyper-focus on it either. And so we have to walk on this balance. We have to make sure that we give our credit to God. John 20:29. Talks about a belief, says Jesus was talking to Thomas after the resurrection, and then Thomas was doubting that Jesus really resurrected, and he was saying that unless I see it, you know, unless I can see him come back, unless I can put my fingers through the holes in his hands, then I won't believe it. And Jesus says to him in verse 29, says Jesus says to him, you have believed because you have seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. At the bottom of most arguments, you're left with a choice. And that choice is belief or unbelief. Right? A great example of this would be creation versus evolution. Now, I don't want to get into the whole, you know, what that's all about. But you can look at evidence presented for one, and you can look at evidence presented for another, right? And I can't prove God to anybody, Like, for me to stand up here and try to prove God to anyone, it's just not going to happen. Now, the good news for that is that God doesn't need me to prove him. He's fully capable of proving himself to people. But sometimes I think that we'll look at evidence, and then at the end of the day, none of it can prove anything. Because the truth is that none of us, you know, for example, just this creation evolution, none of us were there when it happened. I choose to believe what the Bible says, but that is a choice based on beliefs that I have because of my relationship with God. So at the bottom of a lot of arguments is you have a choice whether you're going to believe or whether you're not going to believe. And I think sometimes we want to negate that choice because we don't want the responsibility of having had a choice. We want to play innocent and play ignorant. And Thomas here, he had a choice to believe. And he says he believes because he saw Jesus, but blessed is the one who is not seen and yet still believes. John 3:16, Jesus says, talking about belief again, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." At the bottom of a lot of arguments is a choice of belief or unbelief. And it seems that that choice goes alongside with natural and supernatural and how the Bible presents it. And so it's kind of a funny thing to talk about spirituality because we're here in the Kootenays, and I feel like the Kootenays is a little bit hyper-spiritual. You can see it embedded in a lot of the things that you see around us, a lot of the places that you go. And so if you were an outsider coming in, you could say that there's a lot of people that would consider themselves to be very spiritual here. And the desire to be spiritual comes from a few things. And I had to look up what the heck that word means. And some of the things is that if you consider yourself to be a spiritual person, and I believe that you have to be to a degree, if you're a Christian, you need to. It's a desire to connect to something bigger than yourself, to have a significance beyond everyday existence, to play a meaningful part of a purposeful understanding or a purposeful unfolding. But the truth is that you can be spiritual and be led astray still. Because you can be spiritual and still only focus on yourself. What people desire really when they're spiritual or when you want to call yourself spiritual is actually you want to feel good. And you want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel like you have meaning and you want to feel like you have purpose. And none of that stuff on their own is necessarily a bad thing. Of course, we all want to feel good. But where's the inclination of your heart? Is it going to be towards yourself or is it going to be towards God? Because connecting all of these things are also things that God offers in a relationship with him. Connecting to something bigger than yourself is something that's a part of my faith journey, right? I have God and I connect with him as much as I know how to. And he guides me and he leads me. I have significance beyond my own everyday existence. I may not fully understand all of that, but I choose to believe that the path he set me on, there is something more significant than just me existing. And I play a part of a purposeful unfolding. Now, the other thing that we have to understand, too, when we're talking about spirituality in the Bible, I think it's important to understand what the Bible describes the spiritual realm as to look like. So when God created everything, it says he created heaven and earth, okay? And he created the angels, and he created man. And he did not create demons. That wasn't something he created. He created angels, and he created man. And then what ended up happening is there was the Trinity, right? God, Son, Holy Spirit. And then the next underneath, because there's a hierarchy too, the next underneath was this Lucifer. And he was the most beautiful angel. And this is the angel that began to look at himself, and pride entered his life, and he fell. And in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 11, we get a picture of what this looked like. I kept more details in there than I needed to, because I thought this will give us a lens into what that spirit realm looks like. And that's interesting. Okay, verse 7. So now war arose in heaven. Michael and all of his angels, there goes some hierarchy, were fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So this is symbolism. The dragon is symbolizing Lucifer, and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. The spiritual realm, as the Bible describes it, is that you have God who created everything. You have the angels, which are in the spiritual realm, and you've got the fallen angels, the unholy angels, and you've got the angels that did not fall. And those are the only options. And the tricky thing is that the Bible also describes Satan as a fallen angel, masquerades himself as an angel of light. Which means that naturally we are attracted to him. It is in our nature to be attracted to him. But I wanted to put this verse in here to say that that is all that there is. There's two options, God and his angels and the fallen angels. And that's the reality of the spiritual realm. In Revelation 12, it says Satan starts looking at himself and then he falls. Where is your spirituality leading you? I think sometimes when we say spirituality, people are either really excited or they go, ah, right? But where is your spirituality pointing? Because you cannot say that you are not spiritual if you claim that you follow Christ. Because you have to admit that there is a spiritual realm. And that's not wrong, right? And you got to realize, like for me, I still fight against this natural view. I have doubts sometimes when things happen, but I choose to give credit to God. I choose to give credit to God. And that in order to incline my heart towards him all the time. But if your spirituality gets you to focus on yourself, then that's checkmate. That's a problem. And that's something that we need to work on. The common thing that happens out here is that we all do want to be better people. We strive to get better all the time. Nobody wants to be stuck in their situation. We always want to get better, and that's an okay desire. But Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He'll present you with opportunities to connect to something bigger than yourself. He'll present you with significance beyond your everyday existence. He'll present you with a meaningful part of a purposeful unfolding. And he says, you know how you get that? You just got to better yourself. You got to look within. You got to look deep within. You got to find all the things. But that's not a reality that is in the scriptures. Isaiah, and I don't have this verse up here, so if you brought your Bible, because I found it after. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. That's where we get my tab ripped. Now I gotta look for it. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7 presents a different idea of what this journey looks like. It says, in the year of King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood a seraphim. Seraphim, type of angel. It says, with each had six wings. Two of them covered their face. Two of them covered his feet. And he flew with the two other ones. The spiritual realm is existing, and it's kind of weird. And one called to the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so this picture is being painted of this angel is covering its face, his face, as he approaches the throne of God because of the holiness of God. He covers his feet as a symbolism, as approaches the throne of God because of the holiness of God. It says, and the foundations of the thresholds shook and at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, now this is Isaiah talking, and he's getting a picture into this. And he says, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. We have this idea of Isaiah, a man, and he is now before the holiness of God. And in that circumstance, he has this natural reaction where he says, woe is me, right? That, I can guarantee you, does not feel good. It's not a good feeling. It's not comfortable, right? But the truth remains that in the presence of God, all things that aren't like him become exposed, right? And the Bible says that the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Talking about Moses, when Paul was talking about Moses, he says he chose the reproach of Christ over the riches of Egypt. Even though he had the right in Egypt to be treated as a prince, he chose to work with the Israelites. The reality of the spiritual journey of Christianity, it's not always going to be something that feels good. But growth can only come when we become more like Christ. And in his presence, all things that aren't like him become exposed. And the reason they become exposed is so that then they can be taken away and dealt with. But I guarantee you and I promise you that is not a comfortable journey. But the reality of a spirituality is that comfort betrays. Comfort is easy, and following Jesus is not easy. Because another unfortunate truth for us and our comfort is that God lives outside of our comfort zone. And he will always draw us out of our comfort zones in order for us to meet him. Always, always. The Israelites, when he pulled them out of Egypt, he draws them into the wilderness to Mount Sinai, a place where I'm sure it wasn't comfortable, in order to meet with him. And so in our spirituality, we have to just look at where is it pointing? Are we looking inwardly or are we looking at Christ? And what the Bible paints about spirituality is that there really is only two options. There's Satan, who can provide a comfortable life, but as long as you're looking inwardly. And as soon as you start looking at Christ, things you'll find stories if you look a little bit, where people say, yeah, things were really going good until I decided to follow Jesus. And then it started going really bad. I started having some real struggles and some real issues because you actually started doing this spirituality thing right. If I'm playing soccer or football and I'm running towards a goal and I don't have any opposition, that means I'm about to score on my own goal. Thanks for that. Yeah, you can use that. The reality of the spirituality that is the one that's going to grow you, the one that is the right one, is a difficult one. It's the hard road. It's the one where you are continuously always made to feel uncomfortable because you cannot grow and be comfortable. You cannot truly find peace and be comfortable. And if you have, I would consider that to be a warning sign. And I challenge you to look at God and try the other way and see if life doesn't get worse, because that would be a good clue. Being Christian is very spiritual. Proverbs 14:12. Yeah, I got that one in, right? I saw the thing get right behind me. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end is the way of death." Matthew verses 7:13-14. Jesus, when he's finished on his Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who enter, who find it, are few." There's a wide gate that leads to destruction and a narrow gate that leads to life. One is easy and one is hard. And I promise you that Christ-focused spirituality will connect to something higher than yourself. You will have significance beyond your everyday existence, and you will play a meaningful part of a purposeful unfolding. But your heart's inclination is to give God credit all the time. And you have a choice to make, belief or unbelief. Sometimes no amount of evidence can persuade someone to change, but you have to make a choice what you will believe. The Bible and Jesus talks about an uncomfortable spirituality, an uncomfortable relationship with God. That doesn't mean that life doesn't have blessing in it. The Lord and God has so much blessing for us. Worship team, I'll call you guys back up. That doesn't mean you're going to live a life without blessing, because the Lord has blessing for us. But it does mean that there is two ways to go. And one is easy and one is hard. One leads to death and one leads to life. It's funny. Sometimes I feel like it's just not easy to say things like that, or it's not easy to receive them, right? But Jesus, the most loving person that ever lived, didn't try to make people feel good all the time, because it's just not what was best for them. And you have to see that as an act of love. And the purpose of this is to save, to bring salvation, to get people closer to Jesus, and to understand that there is a spiritual realm, yes, but there is a war going on, and there is a mass attempt going on also to draw people away from heaven. Satan, his days are numbered, and that's the truth. You ever hear people say the victory is won, right? And it is. But he is like a person that's going down, is trying to drag as many people with him as he can. And so spirituality is important. It's important to connect with God. It's important to recognize that you have a soul and you have a spirit and that there is need there. But be cautious of where your need is leading you. If it's leading you towards inside yourself, if it's looking to for you to search deeper inside of you, caution that you may be led astray. David says, Lord, you search me. God, bring me into your presence that the things that I have that aren't of you may be brought to the surface so that you can take those away, so that I may become more Christ-like. But it hurts every time. It hurts every time. And it's not a comfortable journey, but it is the narrow gate that leads to life. So let me pray for you before the worship team, we sing another song. Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth, God. Thank you for your patience with us, Jesus. You do not look down and shake your head. God, you are gracious and patient. And if you weren't, I don't think a whole lot of us would be here. So we want to praise you and honor you and thank you for that. God, show us your love, your gentle guiding, Lord. Because you lead with grace. Thank you for your grace. We pray that the words that were said will do that, will lead to your grace, will lead to your love, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.